Once again, we'd like to say welcome to everybody that's come here this morning. It's a blessing to see everyone. I hope you come for one purpose only, that's to worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. You know, we come this morning as, you know, it's talked about Brother Don in his prayer, talked about it's a blessing to be able to be here. You know, to have the freedom to come worship any religion we want to, but to be able to worship Jesus Christ is an extreme blessing. I hope none of us will take it for granted. And if you got your Bibles, we'll go ahead and begin reading in Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. And our thoughts for this morning is Jesus winning first place in our hearts? As we go throughout life, you know, a lot of times we get so caught up in traditions and routines, the daily routine, you know, maybe where we'll eat the same breakfast and eat the same dinner and meals, and, you know, stuff that's all right to do. But then we get so caught up with our jobs and our lives that we forget who should be taking first place in our lives. And it's not, you know, our jobs. It's not necessarily our family. It's Jesus Christ to be taking first place. And that's what we want to talk about all throughout the morning message. But we'll begin reading verse 1 of chapter 12 of Hebrews. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We each are running a race as we go throughout life. And I hope and pray that you have Jesus in your life. I hope that you are saved. And if not, that would be the very first thing before you even think about trying to attempt to say, because we want to talk about with your faith doing good works and acting as a Christian should act. But before you can be a Christian, you have to be Christ-like. You have to have Jesus Christ in your heart. So that's the very first thing, you know, in Jesus having first place, he has to be in your heart at all in order for him to take first place in your life. But we're each running a race as we go throughout life. But what's different than a race that we run for Jesus Christ than a race is won or lost in life or in, you know, life's terms is that more than one person can win. In fact, everyone that attempts the race has the ability to achieve victory. That doesn't mean that everyone's going to win first place, but everybody has the opportunity and the ability through Jesus Christ to win first place. And that is what he wants out of our lives, is he wants to take priority in our lives. He wants first place. He wants us to follow after his commandments. We want to look at the effects of this if we put Jesus first later on in the message. But first one was, see, in order to put Jesus first, and we need to think about this all throughout our lives and throughout the message, that we must follow his commandments. We'll find this in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. We must follow his commandments if we are going to put Jesus Christ first. And I can kind of maybe understand your attitude a little bit, as I understand mine, that as saved people, we all should want to go all out in our service to him. It's not something that when we're saved and we're on fire for the Lord that we just want to quit and quench the spirit and stop right then and go back to worldly living. In fact, Christians are not at all to do that. We're told to follow after his commandments, and if we do so, I believe with our hearts, if we follow after what God's word says, that Jesus Christ will be taking first place in our lives. But begin reading verse 36 of Matthew 22. It says, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law." You know, as the Pharisees, the religious people being, were trying to tempt him and saying, "Well, you got these 10 commandments and you got others. What is the most important one, Jesus?" It says, "Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You know, what a better answer could be put, because if we are to love God with all of our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, then we will not commit murder, we will not steal, we will not kill, we will not commit adultery, and we will not be worshiping idols. For if we love God with all our heart, that is whom we shall be worshiping, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, you know, and I pose these questions this morning as we attempt to try to find and look into all of our hearts and see at this time who is winning first place. Now, is it the world? Is it our jobs? Is it our family? Or is it Jesus Christ? And I ask the question, you know, why did you come to church this morning? Or, you know, why did you come to church at all? And I honestly believe 99% of you, You didn't come just to be seen, I hope. I hope that you have come to worship Jesus Christ. You can leave here taking these words, not necessarily what I've said, but what God has laid on my heart, that we would take the words of God, not the words of Brent, and apply them to our lives. And in doing so, we would be putting Jesus Christ first. But from now on, we want to look at in the sermon is the effects of putting Jesus Christ first. And it's amazing how God works. And you can find as we go on and how it was read in the devotion this morning, a few of these verses. And we are stuck on in our Sunday school lesson. We're not at the very end in Jude and about to start another Sunday school. We're still in 1 John chapter 3. So I was not at all studying the devotion. It talked about many verses. And that's just amazing to me that how God can work through other people and have the same verses. And even in Sunday school verses, the next one we want to read is in fact what we read then. It's talking about the Good Samaritan. The effects of having Jesus Christ first is that we will love one another, and we will be willing to help one another. And that's what we want to look at next in Luke chapter 10, if you want to turn with me there. We'll begin reading a few verses in verse 25 of Luke chapter 10. We'll begin reading in verse 25. It says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Because it says, you know, love God with all your heart. The second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. And he's asking the question, posing it to Jesus, saying, trying to justify his own actions. Well, who is my neighbor exactly? Is it the person that I live by? Or, you know, just kind of answer this. And it says, And Jesus answering said, A certain man, talking in a parable, certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and likewise a Levite. When he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said unto him, Go and do thou likewise. You know, as we talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan was willing to help other people. He was willing, he saw this person in need. Look at verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, that, you know, he was left half dead, the thieves had done came and stripped him. He didn't realize that, but he saw that he was half dead and he had nothing. And he saw him, he had compassion on him. When most people see that verse, or not necessarily the verse, when they think of compassion, they see somebody that, a lot of people say it's in need. The first thing people want to think of is that they feel sorry for him. I don't believe in my heart the Good Samaritan felt sorry for him, but that he saw the opportunity to help someone. As a Christian person, when we see the opportunity, someone in need, we're not to feel sorry for him and have the wrong attitude and go that way, but we are to see the opportunity to help someone, because that is our Christian duty. If we want to put Jesus first in our, and I believe as Christians, we should have the attitude of going all out. And if we have this attitude, we're going to want to put Jesus Christ first place. But a lot of times we get caught up in life and we don't even realize it, that Jesus Christ has been put on the back burner. He's been, you know, he's kind of the last thing we want to do at the end of the day is read the Bible. The last thing we want to do is put off. If we have time, we might do this. We might pray. And if, you know, if we ain't feeling too tired, we might read a scripture or two. But we're to put God first. And now the Samaritans, as it talked about, and I had to read back, and it talked about Samaritans, and you had three of them, the Levite and the priest. The first one that came by was the priest. And these were the people, the lineage of Aaron. And back in these times, you know, and you think of pastors that you know, of right now, you probably don't know many, and when you see them around, if you know them, you're probably going to greet them and talk to them, you know, how are you? But back in the Bible days, the priests were the leaders. They were a lot. They had held a very high position. Everybody knew them because everybody, you know, a lot of people went into the temple. The priests were the leaders of the lineage of Aaron, and as he went to the other side. As you can think of, if he was a leader, how many people would follow after him and go into the other side? Then it talked about the Levites. The Levites were the assistants to the priests. And as they went on, he went also to the other side and did not help. But the good Samaritan saw and had compassion on him, saw that he was in need and was willing to help. He had good intentions and he followed through with them intentions. Now, many people in life have good intentions. You know, a lot of people that are in prison today may say, well, I had good intentions, but they didn't follow through with them intentions. If we are to say, and if we confess to be Christians and followers of Jesus Christ, we need to follow through on our good intentions and in serving Him and in doing the Christian duty of helping those that are in need. We will have love. That would be one, the very first effect, I believe, in Jesus having first place, that we will have love one for another, and that love should increase. Now, we also want to look in the book of Revelation, also in chapter 3 of Revelation, begin reading verse 14 there. And it's talking about lukewarmness, the church at Laodicea. But for us, individually, we want to look at our lives and see if we have any lukewarmness at all, that we would, just as Jesus would spit that out of their mouth, that we would spit that out of our own mouths and follow Jesus. So in Revelation chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of thy mouth, from out of my mouth. And because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. The church as a whole was neither cold, they were neither very far away from Jesus Christ, but they were never really close to Him at all. They were what it was called lukewarm, as it says in the Bible, neither cold nor hot. Jesus did not like this at all. It said, even in verse 16, it says, so then, because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. As Christians, as we strive to put Jesus first, we need to be hot. Not lukewarm and not cold. We need to be hot towards our relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to draw closer to Him. And I need to look at my own spiritual life as you need to look at your own this morning, as we try to edify one another, as we try to build each other up in the truths of the words of God, that we might draw closer daily, that our witness might be stronger, so that those that are lost would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because we don't come to church, and I hope you don't this morning, just to be seen. We don't come just to pay our dues, just to pay a few dollars. Maybe we can help build another church, a bigger church. That's what a lot of people today are worried about, is, well, what do you have for my youth people? You know, as we talk about youth day, and a lot of people, and it's sad that I've even heard people that come to this church and they would leave away because what they say is that, well, you don't really have much to offer my kids. Or you don't really have much. You know, we have Sunday school classes. We have Sunday school teachers that spend a lot of time during their week when they could be at ball games, when they could be watching TV and taking it the easy way out. But they study the truths of the words of God because they believe as that is their Christian duty. As they are appointed teachers in this church, they are willing to study. Now, it's our point as students that we would study after them to be able to learn. That, as youth, is what, you know, these parents may say, well, what the church have to offer? This is one of those things. And there's many others to offer. As it talks about Christmas coming up, as a church, you know, we always fix fruit baskets. Not just for the elderly, for all those in need. And we write name after name after name down, and we give them out. Not just so much that they would have to show our token of love towards them, that we are thinking about them. And that, you know, that we pray about them daily. As a church, we are to be hot. We are to be close to God. As an individual, we are to be close to God because we, as it said, and that's the very first thing we want to talk on and on about, is in order to put Jesus first place, we must go all out. We've looked at one example, and as a result of putting him and going all out and having the right attitude, the Good Samaritan stopped. And he said, you know, and even when he left, he said, if anything's going to happen to him, I'll come back and I'll repay him. He was willing to go all out. And imagine the effect that he had on that man that was laid there to die. He was half dead already and he had nobody to help him, no food. He was stripped of everything he had. Imagine the effect that if that was me or if that was you lying on the ground, you saw the leaders, the priests and Levites, that, you know, you probably even possibly saw a preacher teaching the temple walk right past you. But you saw the man that, you know, maybe not many people thought about, the Good Samaritan, how he was willing to came and put him on his own donkey and helped him to his way and find an end to allow him to have his help. What a blessing that was for him. And as we can take it to our own examples, that we would be of the same like mind and in service. We look at other results. We're going to continue to grow spiritually. In order for Jesus to be put first place in our lives, we will grow spiritually. We'll find this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 15. Verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And it goes on to talk about how Christ is the head and how true that is. But we want to note that how, in verse 13 and 14, we'll read verse 14, says that we henceforth be no more children. Now this is our goal, that as babes in Christ, that we would grow up. There would be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, but speaking the truth in love, may we grow up into him and all things, and in him being in Jesus Christ. As another thing, and as a church and as an individual, in order for the church to grow, in order for individuals, our spirituality to draw closer to Jesus, it is important that we grow up spiritually. Well, that's a very broad term. Well, how do we grow up? In God's Word, in the knowledge of it. As it says, that carried about with every wind of doctrine. If we do not know as we come into a missionary Baptist church how to defend our faith, you know, when we go out into the world, there's a lot of people that, you know, even as I was younger, would not know, why do I believe Baptist principles? Or why, you know, what's the difference between me and maybe a Methodist, or me and maybe a Presbyterian, or a Free Will Baptist? Well, what would be the difference? And it's important that we know that we may know more. For me too, that I would know more. That I might be able to defend my faith and that you likewise could do so. That's why it's important that we would get up and take the extra hour. Come here at 10 o'clock. Come here to learn more about God's Word in Sunday school. And, you know, and in our own time. We spend our own study at night and during the day. Any time that we have, that we spend it in God's Word. Because why? Is it important that we have jobs, that we put our family maybe above ourselves? I think yes. But it is important even more so that Jesus wins first place. And why do you think about that? You know, we can end the sermon right now, but we'll go on. And it talks about how that, you know, Jesus taking first place, that's what's going to matter in eternity. Because we're all going to be judged. As it says in Hebrews 9:27, you know, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We're all going to be judged according to our works, according to whether or not we have Jesus in our hearts. And again, as we say, as Christians, we want to go all out. We want to put Jesus first. And as we're talking about growing in God's Word in order to grow spiritually, we want to read another verse concerning this. Very familiar, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, when we study the word of God, there's a difference in studying with all our hearts. There's a difference in just daily reading of the scriptures, just for the sake of reading the scriptures. We should search the scriptures regularly with the realization that it is just as important as the daily physical food that we eat. Because we have to have food. If we don't, we go hungry. If we don't, we lose weight. And it can go on to where we even end up dying if we don't eat physical food. Well, if we do not eat the spiritual food of the words of God, we can end up being lukewarm. As it said in the church of Laodicea became, how Jesus said, "He would spew them out of my own mouth." He wants us not to be lukewarm. He wants us to be regularly studying in His Word. And we can do this. God has given us the ability. Now, I'm not saying we can understand every little, because it's told we're not going to understand everything about the truths of the words of God, but we can understand what God would allow us to understand. And that how and it talked about the church at Laodicea, how that they were, you know, in being lukewarm, that they thought that they were in need of nothing, that they had it all, that they were rich. And they, and you know, as it says in the Bible, God sees what we don't see, and we see a different light as where God sees. And God saw these people and how poor and how blind and how naked that they were. Now, when we see ourselves as God sees ourselves, we'll realize how much we are in need of Him. And when we get to that point, and when we were humble enough, then can we put God first and put Jesus first in our lives, and then can we be used of service to be better witnesses. We would think not proud of ourselves, but that Jesus comes first, and that in Him we can do all things. But also concerning God's Word, it was read in the devotional. We'll read it again in Matthew chapter 7. We'll read verses 15 through 20. It's important that we know the Scriptures so that, as it talked about, we won't be carried about with every wind of doctrine. This is what it's talking about here. So that false teachers, when they come, and they will, that we would be able to uproot them and know them, that we might cast them out of the church. In Matthew chapter 7, we'll read verses 15 through 20. And this is written in red. This is Jesus Christ speaking here. It says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, for inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." To know God's Word thoroughly, and the ins and outs of God's words and the mysteries that are found therein, allows us to better recognize false teachers. Because what did it say in verse 15? It's talking about, beware of false teachers which come to you in as ravening wolves. Is that what it says? No, it says it comes to you in sheep's clothing. Just as a sheep has to be a wolf that's going to come and distinguish itself and put on a costume as if it was a goodly person, as if it was a tree that produced good fruit. But what did it say in God's inspired word? No good tree will produce corrupt fruit continually. No corrupt tree will produce good fruit. We are told, and you know, as we're told, that as Jesus winning first place and knowing God's word thoroughly, so that we might better recognize these false teachers. Because what would happen if we don't? They would continue in and they would teach him. Now, you just take a look, and I can remember today the lesson we had in Miss Shirley's class where it was talked about, and I bet it was 15 to 20 denominations of different churches and what they believed in, from Buddhist to Islam to many others, as it talked about what they believed in. They believed in manly creatures. And they put them up, as just as we exalt God and how great He is, they tried to put Him on the same pedestal as Him. And how awkward, how weird it was listening to that message. And I think today is what a blessing it was, so that we might know the truth of the words of God, so that we might know who them false teachers are, so that we might tell others why we believe what we believe, and tell them, you know, and ask them the question. You know, you've asked me, why do I believe? And I've answered you, well, why do you believe what you believe? So that we may help them and show them into the right way. Now, as Brother Dan teaches a lot, you know, if we had the cure for cancer, how great it would be that, yes, no doubt any one of them here that had the cure for cancer would tell everyone about them. They'd probably make millions and billions of money, but they would tell people the cure of cancer, that they would save people's lives. Now, we have the truths of the words of God. We have the cure, you know, through Jesus Christ, and He can save everyone. I mean, but we cannot save a soul, but through the truths of the words of God, they can be convicted, and they can come to the realization of Jesus. Now, it's up to us that we would get out the truths of the words of God in a lot of light. And that's what we're told here, and that trying to allow Jesus to win first place in our lives, it's important that we witness one to another, that we acknowledge false teachers, that we continue in God's Word. As it said in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15, we won't read it because it was read in our devotion, talked about Satan. Just as it said, beware of false teachers, with the ravening wolves that come to you in sheep's clothing, that Satan comes, not as a lion, but comes and tries to transform into an angel of light. And it said in verse 15, so his followers, paraphrasing it, you know, come as angels of righteousness. That's why it's important, because they're not necessarily, they don't have a sign on their head like it used to have, that internet commercial saying Earthlink, you know, round about their head, how easy it was to recognize that. You know, Satan's people are not so easily recognized. They come as in sheep's clothing. That's why it's so important that we follow after God's Word. So that also, more than that, that we would draw nigh unto Him. That we would see it, because in God's Word, you know what it shows? It shows His love for us. That He would send His only begotten Son, so that we might have everlasting life. But in growing spiritually, you know, we grow in God's Word, and we also grow in love one for another. That's the second point out of three that we want to make. Find this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. It says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. We should love one another dearly. It was stated, as we talked about, as the Good Samaritan, how much he loved and showed his love for Jesus, and that he was willing. He jumped at the opportunity to help someone in need. We should also do the same, jumping at the opportunity. But in loving one another, and in having brotherly love, as shown throughout the Bible, we're talked about we're not to hold grudges. You know, that's talked about in a lot of people. You know, if someone wrongs us in one way, it's held in our mind. And it's held to where, when we get the opportunity, it seems like the devil's just clicking at us. There's your opportunity. There it is. You can take revenge, but what are we taught in the words of God? To have brotherly love, not to hold grudges, not to judge one another. Because we have one that judges us. We should take care of each other. Not just our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we should also help our enemies. Those that despise us. And how can I say that? Is this just my thinking? Well, this is Brent's way, this is just being nice. No, this is what God's Word says. We're going to turn and read this in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 23, we'll read verses 4 and 5. Exodus chapter 23, verses 4 and 5. Because, you know, at the very first, when I was writing this, talked about 1 Thessalonians, talked about one loving one another. I wrote the very first thing I said, we should love them because we love, because they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should love them. How true that is. But at the same time, I thought, if that's the only reason, if we don't love our enemies just as much, then what are we saying to others? That we just have one click to where we only associate, yes, we should only associate with Christian people, but at the same time, if Jesus would have did this, how many people would He have saved? He wouldn't have saved me, because I was not in His likeness. I was lost, and He wasn't. But He came and He died for me and for you, that we might have everlasting life, so that we are also to help our enemies. Verses 4 and 5 of Exodus chapter 23 says, if thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. If thou shalt see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and with his forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. This is Christian love at its best, that we should love everyone. No respecters of persons. We should be willing to help them no matter who they are. Whether it's our brothers and sisters in Christ, or whether it's our, you know, most staunchest enemy, we should love them. Because what are we showing when we love our enemies? Not very many people do. So what's that saying? as Christians, as it says in God's Word, are to be a separate people. Right there is an example of us being separate. Because how many times, I'd say 85% of people would want to take revenge or want to hold grudges or want to, when they see their enemy down, they just want to either spit upon them, laugh at them, you know, not take their hand to help them up. But what would a Christian do? If they're going to put Jesus Christ first, they'd be the first one to help them. They'd be the first one, you know, to show that Christian love. And by doing that, they're showing that they are a separated people, that they have Jesus Christ in their hearts. We talked about in growing spiritually, in order to put Jesus Christ first, we talked about we have to know more about the truths of God's Word. We talked about the effects of it also would be our love would grow stronger one for another. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are enemies. And thirdly, in conclusion, we want to talk about we will grow in grace and in knowledge. We'll find this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter chapter 3 verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." You know, one who grows in grace and in knowledge, I believe, of Jesus Christ, the more we grow in it, we realize, you know, what does that mean? Is that we realize that on our own, we can only go so far. And that so far is not very far at all, if that makes any sense at all. We cannot achieve very much on our own. And what we do achieve will just be blown up in smoke. What we do for Jesus Christ, as it says in 1 Corinthians 57 and 58, you know, our labor is not in vain. But when we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus, we realize how much we are dependent upon Him. For His grace, and grace being a merited favor, I think, and you can think of your own families, and my families, I think, you know, did I do anything when I was born and throughout my life to merit who my parents or my brothers were? There is a lot of people, as you read throughout stories, that had nothing and have nothing. Have no parents, have families that have left them. The love of a family, which we see, you know, as we spend time with each other and we would stick up for our family like we would stick up for no one else, is not apparent and is not living in a lot of people's lives. Because they don't see that. And what a blessing it is, that would, I would think of God's grace right there, is that we have the families that we have today. Now, it's a blessing to be brought up in a Christian home. But it's also a blessing, and I would say even more so, that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, because it don't matter how good a home you grow up in, it don't matter if you grow up in a dilapidated building and in shambles and have nothing, if you don't have Jesus Christ, it'd be even more, you know, I would think that the person in the dilapidated building that had Jesus Christ and the one that grew up in a very Christian home and didn't have Jesus, the one down here would be, you know, how much more blessing, how much more happy would he be? Because he has the peace and the blessed assurance in his heart. As we talked about, in conclusion, we'll look at one last verse also, verses 9 and 10 of the same chapter. And putting Jesus Christ first in our hearts, to have blessed assurance, that would be one of the things in order to put Jesus Christ first in our hearts. Verse 9 and 10, we'll look at the very last in conclusion of 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." You know, we don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know when the Lord's going to come again, but we are assured, as it said in verse 9, that the Lord is not slack as men count slackness. What He says will abide by, and what He says will happen. The day of the Lord is coming soon. You know, we see that in 2 Peter chapter, or 2 Timothy chapter 3, how that, you know, it talks about days, last days, perilous times shall come. We should be getting our house in order. Why is it important that we follow this sermon, just as we should follow every other sermon? Because I'm not counting this a higher sermon than any other one, because it's not. We should follow in putting Jesus Christ first in our lives, because when it talked about the Lord coming again, He said, "Are we going to find you faithful? Are we going to find you doing the works and being faithful as Jesus Christ counts faithfulness? Or are you going to be about busy, as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, that they were, you know, mingling among their own people, not really caring about what God thought, not fearing God at all?" As the song leader comes, as the piano player comes, we'll have a hymn of invitation And it's not our invitation. It's if you want to come and you want to lean upon the altar and pray, fine. If you would like to come and anything at all, please come on. And we're not pressuring anybody at all. As we talked about the words of God and we talked about, you know, putting God first and taking top priority, it's not necessarily with our good works, but in our hearts. Because if it is bestowed in our hearts that Jesus Christ is first, then will it be revealed in our works.